When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to episode 96 of the Ricky Henderson Podcast, the greatest of all podcasts, GOAP. Got another full house for today's episode. I'm your host, Alex Espinoza, with my co-host, Dr. Hot Dog, Hal Gordon.
WWW Dog.
And we got Brian from Last Dive Bar and one of the co-founders of the Oakland Ballers, Paul Friedman. How you doing, Paul? How you doing?
I'm doing great. So excited to be on 96 episodes. That's amazing. That episode 130 is going to be a big one, right?
Ricky, we got to have Ricky on at some point, you know, and then he'll find out that what the name is. So he's going to shut down the whole operation. It'll be great. Yeah. Oh, what's up, Brian? So Paul, I've and both you guys, I mean, how stoked are you guys for Saturday? Of course you guys are going to honor the history of the Coliseum at Raimondi Park. I saw the newsletter you guys put out today, you kind of detailed the whole meaning behind it. And do you kind of want to explain that, Paul, like why you picked Saturday to do this?
Yeah. I mean, so this is a big day for us. So we had intended to play this game, on Saturday, the 29th against the Northern Colorado Owls at the Coliseum. We had signed a contract. We had put our deposit in. We had even, made a promo. We had given a bunch of tickets to Little Leagues. Like we wanted to have a positive day at the Coliseum to honor the fact that baseball was going to stay in Oakland. And we thought it was going to be a celebration of the fact that, you know, Oaklanders get to decide whether baseball stays or doesn't. And then the powers that be decided that they wanted to execute a block in their agreement and prevent us from playing there. And so we're not playing there, but we're going to keep the date. And what we're going to do instead is we're going to honor the Last Dive Bar. We're going to honor the Coliseum. We're going to honor the legacy that is baseball in Oakland. We're just going to do it here. And we're going to, you know, we partnered with the Last Dive Bar on it. Brian and Paul, have some really fun stuff planned. I don't want to give it away, but it's cool. And we're reaching real deep back into some old cuts. Like we're gonna ghost ride a Volvo, right?
But one of the first viral videos from like 06 or 07. Yeah.
Yeah, the video that stopped the A's from going to Fremont. That video stopped the A's from going to Fremont. But more importantly, it's like, you know, this is the best fan base in the world. Like, who does that stuff? Who creates a viral video that gets 17 million views that has a team rethink, you know, moving where they're going to move? And like, that's what we're honoring, and we're super excited to do it.
Well, Brian, I don't know how much you can divulge, but what are you and the Last Dive Bar gang got planned for Saturday? Or I don't know if you could preview or tease or like, you know, what are fans expecting?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, I think I put pretty much almost everything out already. So if you're following on socials, you've kind of seen everything that's going to be offered, right? We have 1,000 Rally Possum car flags that are going to be given away. And so we worked with Guy Slawinski on that, with also Ace Fan by Design of LDB. And so we got 1,000 of those that we're going to be given away. You know, it's funny because we wanted to do that car flag before we knew about Scrappy. So we didn't even know their mascot was going to be a possum. So the fact that it is a possum, you know, it's like our possum and their possum colliding. And so that's pretty dope. But we got, we also got additional, the character that's on that car flag. We have 200 LDB baller pins that we're going to be giving out as well. And so I think we're going to be having, like, you know, some of the in-game celebrities that'll be there. They'll be passing those out, mingling with fans and everything like that. And then we got a bunch of in-game, you know, contests that'll be going on, and, you know, trivia and stuff like that, where we're going to be providing the in-game prizes and everything like that. So you'll get some LDB Coliseum photography. We have a bunch of t-shirts that we're going to be shooting off into the crowd. And then we got 2 boxes of Last Dive Bells that we're actually going to be providing to the ballers that they're going to be selling, and then the proceeds for that will be benefiting the Backyard Boys. So that's pretty cool. So it's going to raise like over $1,000 for local charity. So that's going to be awesome. And so we're going to be debuting that and providing that to them for Saturday. And then, yeah, we also got like some contributors that have worked hand in hand with us over the years. Some vloggers and videographers that have made some really amazing videos and clips that will be, you know, shown throughout the game and everything like that. And so a lot of, you know, homages to not only the work that LDB has done, but also time at the Coliseum and looking forward to Raymondi Park. So,
and like a lot of in-game entertainment stuff too, like some surprises, right? Or what? Some things people got to be there to see kind of thing, right? Or what?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think Paul, we're going to be talking probably tomorrow maybe about like some of the scheduling and stuff.
We're going to get some nostalgia. We're going to get some stuff that if you've seen some games at the Coliseum, you'll be like, oh yeah, they brought that back. We brought that back.
Yeah.
Too bad you can't bring.
So we got the Rally Possum races. I've been forgetting to post that. I mentioned it like early on in like an early post, but I haven't mentioned it since. So I actually got to get some pictures of these costumes. And so, yeah, so we're going to, you know, involve the fans in some of the festivities and get them on the field and doing some crazy stuff. And again, winning some prizes and, you know, just bringing that atmosphere, that energy that Ace fans have, right? And bringing that into Raymondi as Ballers fans, you know? And so it's really, you know, the game to me is more of a symbolic thing because obviously all the fans sitting at Raymondi, you know, once we're sitting at the Coliseum, and so, you know, this is the legacy of the old with the legacy that we're yet to have create. And so, you know, this is the inaugural year of hopefully many, many years of building that history in this ballpark, a ballpark that's already had so much history in years past, you know, a long time ago. It's now coming to the forefront again. And so you got some amazing fan groups in the 68s and LDB and everybody that works with us along in parallel with everything we do. You know, they're going to be contributing to this day. And so Casey Pratt will be there. I'm not sure if it's myself or Paul that's going to do the first hit. I've seen the videos and it looks like Jorge almost hit one out. Looks like Casey hit one to like center field. And so I'm worried I'm not even going to be able to hit it, let alone get it out of the infield. So I might try to like coerce 209 Tacos to take the first swing. There. So yeah, I'm like so nervous to like even hit it past the pitcher's mound.
You got to watch because Jorge, that was the second pitch that he hit, you know, to the deep outfield, because the first pitch almost ended up, you know, in his ear. So you got to watch those players. They get up there.
Threw it at him. He threw it at his head. He said something a little bit. They got a little angry. He threw it at his head. But the second pitch, he almost hit it out. And yeah, so far, I mean, for those who haven't been to Raymondi yet, you know, we follow a lot of baseball traditions. We present, most importantly, a canvas for Oakland fans to do what they do, which is make magic. But then we flip the script on a couple of things. So, you know, what Brian was talking about is instead of a ceremony first pitch, we got the ceremony first hitter. And so far, no one's hit it out yet. But Jorge and Casey have been closest. There's a little rivalry between them about who hit it a little further. But someone's going to hit it out. And when they do, the crowd's going to go wild.
Yeah, I think next year we definitely need Statcast because, I mean, otherwise it's like big fish stories. Like, my fish was bigger, your fish was bigger. It's like, let's get the Statcast. Let's measure this and see who really hits the longest balls. Because I'm like, there's got to be something like that little roller thing that goes on the ground where you can measure, like, how far something went. Like, we got to get somebody, like, to measure that, man, because bragging rights are important.
Put a little graphic up with everybody's face where it landed.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, just like a stake in the ground with a big head.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be funny. Like, whoever has the current longest first hit, like, there's a big yard sign with a huge blow-up head that you see at, like, people's graduations. And we have just, like, the ugliest picture we can find of them, too. And you put, like, their picture, their head, just out in the outfield somewhere. Dude, like, that's the goal.
Is this a Zoom or podcast?
We're on a podcast.
You guys are on a podcast.
Please go away.
What's up, Brian?
There's only room for one Brian.
I just got a text from Mother Brian too. I was gonna. I'm sorry, a little busy.
I was literally texting with Brian like right before I hopped on. That's why I came on like 2 minutes late.
Well, hey, Paul. So I know you just referred to the A's as the powers that be, but most of the time you guys have been really open to acknowledging the A's. I saw your new mural with Vita Blue on it and stuff like that. It's really cool. Do you guys have any relationship at all with the A's? And did you guys have direct negotiations about the June 29th, or was it more like you guys got a notification like, hey, your application's been denied, or kind of a thing?
Let me start at the top. I mean, we love the A's. We're A's fans. Like, we love the history of the A's. Like, we love the players, and we're always going to honor the players, and we're always going to honor the traditions, and we're always going to honor the history. Like, that's never going to go away. We have no direct relationship I've had with anybody who works with the business side of the organization right now. Mm-hmm. And the way that works when you're trying to book the Coliseum is that's through the JPA. It's like the city and the county. You don't deal with, you know, if anybody, like Beyonce wants to book the Coliseum, they go through she's going to go through the JPA. You don't talk to the A's directly. And so we work with them, and it was like, it took a long time. I was looking back, it was like 73 emails to get the deal done, like a lot of stuff to like, you know, book it and make it happen. And, you know, we worked really hard on it, and then, you know, paid the deposit, and then got a little note back that's like, hey, the current tenant has an exclusivity on pro baseball, and they're going to, you know, make us back out of your uh-huh. lease. And we were bummed about it, mostly bummed about it because, you know, we just knew that we were going to pack that place. I mean, you know, can you imagine the energy of like a celebration, you know, without the baggage of, you know, where the money's going to. And for us, people need to see the baseball experience they're putting on, because the people who've seen it love it. Right. Like it is fun. It's high quality baseball. We have Oakland fans doing what Oakland fans do. And there's like just a kind of like almost an old school, like back to the future vibe, like an old, like more authentic, more connected. The players are, you know, able to do more autographs and connect with the fans more. And so people who see it, love it. People who see it, come back. And so for us, it was really important to, you know, we wanted 20,000 people, 30,000 people to be able to see it. Cause, you know, only Romani only holds four. And so, you know, we're bummed that didn't happen. We're still bummed, but we're, you know, never going to back down as an organization. And so what we can do instead is save that date. We will keep that date forever. We will always make that date special. And this is the first one, you know, this is, you know, June 29th, you know, and what we're going to do is honor that place that we love. We called it, you know, in our promo video, we called it, it's like a church. It's our temple of baseball. Like we love that place. We don't play there, but we're always going to honor it.
That's awesome.
You know, I was in Oakland this past weekend for like, you know, for like 72 hours or something. But, and the reason I was there was, back in, I think maybe in December, I got this like message on Instagram, and this woman was like, "You don't know me. Here's a picture of my fiance and I at the Coliseum with you. We want you to officiate our wedding," which was so funny that they asked a hot dog vendor to officiate the wedding. I had to say yes. So I had to come back and do that, wore the vest. But the next day, you know, it was really nice. You know, most of the people at the wedding, you know, weren't big A's fans, but going to the Coliseum and going to baseball games, and, you know, they've been to a few B's games now too. You know, going to games was like important part of their relationship, which was like so fun. They like played the, you know, Cool and the Gang is the last song of the, at the dance. But like, you know, the next day, the whole wedding, we took a party bus to the Coliseum for that, the celebration of the 74 championship team.
Oh, so that was the reception or whatever? That was like the wedding reception or something?
Well, no, the wedding, there was a wedding reception, but then the next day it was like, hey, if you're still in town, go to the game.
Yeah.
But it was dope. But it was fun. And, but it was an interesting day to be at the Coliseum, because I think it was, you know, it was probably this first or second biggest crowd of the whole season.
It was the biggest crowd of the year.
Yeah. It was much. Yeah, I don't know how many people were there. There must have been at least 20.
It was like 19. They announced 19. It in 19.
Almost. Almost got him. You know, it was double the day before, but, you know, it was also free jersey day. But there were so many people there to celebrate that team. And, you know, it was that it just, it's still, there was just like, there's just this huge chunk missing. You know, they brought out the classic cars like they'd done the last 2 years, but they couldn't have, you know, there's no one obviously from the front office that would have had the balls to stand up and say anything. And they, you know, they made Raleigh Fingers make, you know, have him make comments. And they was, the comments just were so stilted. It didn't feel like the real thing because, you know, I get it. Raleigh's making, he's trying to keep getting paid. So, you know, he's been doing events in Vegas and stuff.
Wax to buy, you know,
he's got a lot of mustache wax to buy, but they're, you know, they're just these unsaid things. And it felt like, you know, we're still trying to celebrate under under a communist regime or something, you know? And I mean, it really does feel like that, you know, it's everyone knows what the feelings are and no one's allowed to say it or they'll get blackballed from the organization, Alex. And, it just seems what the freedom to be able to be at Raimondi, part of the fun and the freedom there is that, like, we can say what we want and they're going to say what we're feeling, you know? And yeah, it's not the big major leagues, but also there's bullshit to worry about. It's just like plain fun. And
I appreciate you saying that, you know, and I think the other thing that coming to Raimondi allows you to do is shows you how much stays. Like, we can't replace the A's and it's not major league. You're never going to see Aaron Judge hit dingers against our team as much as, but when you come to games, you see how much fun it still is, right? Like how much fun, like what they can't take away. And part of the reason why it's so fun is because of us, like because of the fans. It's like, you know, 68s are here with their drums and we're still here with the Let's Go Oakland chants. And we're still here with the, like, energy never goes. And let me tell you that the other teams in this league, every single time they've come here, have been like, oh my God, this is special. Oh my God, this is different. This is not like other, you know, Pioneer League experiences. They're like, you know, every single time that we hear that. And you know what's different is that we have this fan base. That's what we have. And we will always have this fan base, right? And, like, you know, I think one of the things that coming to Raimondi allows you to do is, you know, it's not gonna, you know, never replace what was lost, and we're always gonna mourn, you know, what they're taking away, but it will remind you of how much actually is gonna stay and how much we actually get to keep and how much fun we actually get to have and how many times we get to cheer, Let's Go Oakland.
Yeah. Brian, yeah, it's just a sick stadium, and you're gonna get that, and you get that free flag on Saturday. So really, you gotta go.
The possum flag. And by the way, how could we not do a possum as a mascot? Like, there were some like rumors going around that was going to be something else, but like, it had to be scrappy the possum.
I was going to say, like, what were the other things you were considering? Because that's hilarious that you landed on the possum. Yeah,
I don't know that we considered much, because I think.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Once we landed on, like, I think it was a pretty quick brainstorming. It's like, so it was like Rally Possum. Like, everyone's like, yeah, Rally Possum. And then it was like, what's a name that, like, signifies the city and, like, what's Oakland all about? You know, also maybe sounds a little bit like Stomper. It's like Scrappy. So, like, pretty quickly, like, we landed on, like, what it was. I think there's some stuff going around. Like, some people wanted, like, an oak tree. You know, the official bird of Oakland is the black-crowned night heron. So some people wanted that. But you know, come on, it's got to be a rally possum.
I have a text from Saturday, December 2nd at 3:05 p.m. from what's a good name for a possum? Scrounger. I said, okay, well, this is the Paul. This is you. You came up with Scrounger. I said, I'll put it into ChatGPT. ChatGPT is recommending Pippin the Pouchmaster for a name. But I think I like Scrappy.
You named him. I didn't even remember. That's there you go. Hal, Dr. Hal,
Wow.
the hot dog guy and namer of mascots. He's
That's
Well,
That's right.
I got a text from Brian Carmel, your co-founder. He said, ask Paul if he was cool in high school.
What's funny about that is nobody was cool in our high school. We went to the college preparatory school, also known as Can't Play Sports, in Oakland,
Is that the
California.
one right next to the freeway right there
The
when in
one right next
24?
to, yeah, right next to 24 off Broadway. No one was cool there. No one was cool at all. But important milestone is that Brian and I are being featured in the CPS like Alumni Gazette right
Let's
now, which
go.
it's going to lead to ungodly levels of clowning for our high school friends, like
Oh,
ungodly levels
shoot.
of them making fun of us.
Well, hey Brian, I was going to say, what's your perspective going to Raimondi after going to the Coliseum your whole life? You know, I know there's a lot of emotions and everything behind it, but like, just from your pure, because I brought my dad, my brother, and my best friend there, and they all loved it. You know, I mean, I don't know, what is it like for you as a fan, like diehard A's fan? You know?
Yeah, so for me, what it felt like is I could just enjoy baseball. I could laugh, I could smile, I could joke around, I could do all that and not have this huge cloud, this weight on your shoulders, knowing everything that's going on behind the scenes and everything like that. And obviously, with the history we have, LDB and the actual team itself, and working with those very executive front office members and PR marketing and stuff, like it even cuts like on a personal level for me because of some of the relationships we built with some of these people. And what they did to us and everything like that. So, like being at Raimondi is like you get to watch baseball, right? Because so many people talk shit about the Coliseum and stuff like that. But when things were good and you were at the Coliseum, like you don't think about the concrete confines around you. You're there. You're in the game. You're watching it. You're experiencing those moments. And it's just you and baseball. You know what I mean? Like Raimondi is that, right? And you don't have to fear the team leaving. You don't have to worry about the bad PR and the dragging that this front office does to its fan base. Like you don't have to worry about that. You got front office members that are walking around shaking your hand, smiling at you, talking, getting to know you, calling you by first name. They know who you are. They know the difference between the Oakland 68s and Last Dive Bar, right? Because they're in tune with the fan base. Why? Because they are the fan base, right? They grew up in this, and they grew up in this culture and in this baseball climate in the East Bay, and they understand it and they know what's important. And so they highlight those very things. And I haven't mentioned or posted anything, but like it almost brought me to tears when I saw one of the new murals had like the top of our design on there. And so like I've been like I didn't want to talk about it because I want to be there, see it, and then hear from Paul and Brian like why they decided to put that up there. But like something like that, where I had no clue, right? No freaking clue that that was going to be there or happen, and don't even know the meaning behind it. And yet they took it upon themselves to include, three dudes, right? On that, right? And the 68s are featured on that as well. The Coliseum is on there. You got the Paramount Theater and stuff. And so it's like, this is what this team does, is they're genuine. It's real, it's authentic, and you get to enjoy baseball. You get to not feel bad about buying a hot dog, knowing that the
I
money is going to buy Paul a
was
new
like, you never
Paul.
feel bad about that.
Well, nobody felt bad buying a hot dog from Hal, but you don't feel bad about buying food or drinks, or any of that, because the money is going to be going to buying Paul and Brian some new 22s on their Volvos, So
Yeah, I
no.
mean, and again, really, like nothing, it's been a lot of work. Every day is a grind. It was incredibly hard to put together Raimondi in the time period that we do. It's incredibly hard to throw 48 baseball games in the time period that we have to do. But the thing that continues to charge, baller Brian and I is that kind of spirit and that kind of energy. And the amount of times people thank us for keeping baseball in Oakland, like literally will never get old to us, because for us, there's three things that make baseball in Oakland so special. It's the town of Oakland itself and the iconography of that. It's the players that play on the field that have, you know, rep Oakland, the historical ones, the future ones, and it's us, the fans, in those three things. So you talked about that mural. That mural combines those three things. It's players, historical players. It's images of iconic parts of Oakland, and it's representative images of the fans themselves. And like the other team, thinks it's all about themselves, right? Thinks it's all about themselves. We've always rejected that notion. And the thing is, because we're like, because Oakland, which will always stay in Oakland, the East Bay will always stay in East Bay, and the fans will always stay here. Like, we already start with 2/3 of the magic. We already start the game with 2/3 of the magic.
You know, Paul, you got to remember though, that those people have feelings too, you know? So when you say that, when you say that, it's hurtful.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Unbelievable.
Jesus.
And Paul, how is, I don't know. I'm sure you guys would want to sell out every game, but that's not a realistic goal for anybody, you know? How has attendance been for you guys? And do you feel like, and you guys are still in this brand awareness phase, or like how do you feel like everything's going, you know? Cause you guys were founded 7 months ago, you know?
Yeah. We were founded 7 months ago, announced 6 months ago, you know, didn't have, you know, started working on this ballpark, you know, month and a half ago, like legitimately. And as much as like the A's core fan base and like our, you know, people who follow each other on Instagram and people who follow each other on Twitter, have like hear about us all the time. The reality is the vast majority of people in the East Bay haven't heard about us yet. They really haven't. And they're just finding out about it, but at every day. And that's just the reality of being a new team. So, you know, we were incredibly happy that opening day sold out. We've been pretty happy with our crowd. I mean, like, we'd love to sell out every day.
Father's Day looked good. It was like, what, 2,700 for Father's Day?
Father's Day was pretty good. And we're just building. Like, compare us to other teams that have come into Oakland, like, we're starting out a lot stronger than other teams, you know, kind of came in and started out. So we're starting out with a good base and we're pretty happy with it. And the kind of most important thing is that the product is really good, right? Like, the baseball product is really good. The team's actually, we're an expansion team that's winning. We're two games right now out of an automatic playoff spot. The way the Pioneer League works is if you are first and second in the first half of the season, you're automatically in the playoffs. We're only two games back. Ooh. Expansion team, kind of unheard of. And then the fan product, the fan experience product, the quality of the food, the quality of the good time, like, people can't leave and they come back again. They come back twice. They come back three times. And that's what we're worried about. If we continue to do that, then, you know, the attendance is just going to grow over time.
Yeah, word of mouth and everything.
Tell their friends. Yeah. And you know, right now there are, and like we said this early on, like, we will not judge anybody by the way that they express their love of baseball ever. So if people want to continue to go and soak up the last like nostalgia of the Coliseum, we 100% respect that. If people, you know, want to come and check us out and learn about what's something new, we would obviously love that and respect that. But at some point in time, we're staying and they're going, and we're going to continue to provide this like fan centric experience. And we know that it's only going to grow.
And it's kind of weird just how the Pioneer League is set up, because it's not affiliated. It's almost like your best, you guys have already had four players called up to affiliated leagues, which in 5 weeks, which is amazing. But it's also, it's like, damn, you know, those are like, you know, your four best players, maybe, you know, it's kind of a weird structure, you know, I mean, it's like,
yeah,
how,
I mean,
how is that? Yeah,
it's a mixed blessing when it happens, because we love the guys, and they're, you know, not they're good
yeah,
players.
That's the goal.
But that's, you know, that the reality is that creates the flywheel that gets our team better. So every single time a player gets a call from an MLB, you know, team, we get like 5 agents, 10 agents, you know, calling us saying, I got a guy who wants to fill that spot. Right. And the reality is everybody who plays in unaffiliated ball right now, by the way, that is a free agent. They get to decide where they go. They get to decide if they're going to play in the Mexican League. They get to decide if they're going to play the Atlantic League, or they're going to play overseas in, you know, Japan or Korea. Like, they get to choose where they're going to go. And what we're trying to say is that Oakland is going to give them the biggest spotlight and the biggest attention of all of those choices. And we're going to treat them the best as players, and we're going to provide them the best professional development. Like, we got Wach, we got Micah, we got JT Snow. We're going to make your career the best. And every time somebody gets that call, it's proven our point. I think 25% of the times that there's been a signing in the whole league, it's been a baller, you know. And so we're proving the point, and that just means that we're going to get, you know, more talent coming in. And ultimately, our job is to put the best team on the field. This ownership group actually wants to win.
Is it like soccer in Europe? Do you get like a 500,000 pound transfer fee each time?
It is like
2.3.
It is like soccer in Europe, pounds. but the transfer fee is significantly smaller than that.
You need to be holding out on these guys. Come on,
Fordham. Right now, what we're all about is providing the best opportunity we can for the players, right? And so if a player gets that call and they decide they want to go, to the Giants, like Elijah did, you know, we're actually going to root for him, not the rest of the Giants, but we're actually going to root for him.
Wait, so I have a question. So of the many agents that called, when the phone, rang, how many times did Casey Pratt's agent, Casey Pratt, call you as these baller members scooted off to MLB?
I mean, I got to give Casey Pratt, I gave Casey Pratt a hard time at the tryout. I gave Casey Pratt a hard time leading up to the tryout. I told him he was never going to make it. That's a kind of harsh message. I got to give him some respect. He almost hit it out of the park on the opening pitch. He did way better than I thought he was going to do at the open tryout. He's never going to play on the team, but I got to give him respect for his baseball ability.
Yeah, I think we need to test that Oakland Ballers beer that he was sipping on, because there must have been some sort of enhancement in that brewski he was drinking.
And Paul, also last week or 2 weeks ago, you guys announced that you raised $2 million in investing, and the Haas family. There's two members of the Haas family who are part of that. How cool is that? Have Jennifer C. Haas and Jesse Eisenberg, his grandson, kind of join that. And the things that they said, seems like they're kind of bringing that old school. I mean, because that was a great era of A's baseball when he was the owner, when Walt was
the best owner in A's history, and then owner who treated the team the way we believe teams should be treated, which is as a community asset, right? Like, you get, he was fortunate. That he was wealthy and he got to be a team owner, but he like treated that as like a responsibility instead of like a, something that he got to deploy. And he really invested in it. And when he went to sell it, he only sold it because he was ill. He made a condition of the deal that you can't move the team. Like, he did everything right in terms of the way that he owned the team. And they put in they were winners. Right. And so for family members who grew up in that experience, and they both did, Jesse's is actually his grandson, and Jennifer's his cousin, but they both grew up, going to A's games, as a relative of the owner, seeing it happen, seeing their like family member like run the team this way. And the fact that they, kind of believe that they see the same kind of spirit or the same kind of motivation in what we're doing, and that they are willing to invest behind it. It was a huge honor. We're like incredibly excited about it. And thankful that they've supported us in that way, because their validation means more than almost anybody else. They've seen it done the right way, right? And if they're saying that we're doing it the right way, it means a ton.
Yeah, and if I can say something on that, Jesse bought me a cheeseburger on opening night. I had no idea who he was, and he was in front of me. And so, like, you couldn't get food like opening night. It was so packed, right? And so I went in the later innings, and he's standing there, and he just asked me questions about baseball, asked me about my time at the Coliseum. And we get into the Last Dive Bar, we get into the Ballers, and then he introduces himself. I'm like, oh man, it was like I was talking to Jesus, right? Like, God is his grandfather, and he's Jesus Christ. I was starstruck, right? Because if you think about it, the Haas family like formulated like they created, like, yeah, you had the teams in the 70s and stuff like that, but like that 80s teams, like they were rock stars. You know what I mean? They put like baseball on a whole nother level, like to where they were like an NFL team, you know? And so the fact that the Haas family is so excited about getting involved with the Ballers organization tells you a lot, tells you that things are going the right way. And something there is special, right? Because you can go on Facebook right now. That's where you're going to find a lot of the Haas family members. They're all up in the A's group chats right now. And so it's pretty cool to be sitting there trading stories and talking back and forth with actual, you know, members of the Haas family. You have sisters, you have cousins, you have uncles and aunts and nephews and nieces all up in these groups. And it's crazy. It's like nobody's heard from the Haas family since then. And all of a sudden they're like everywhere on social, you know, and it all has, there's one common denominator, and it's the excitement and the realness, you know, within the Oakland Ballers, you know, inception and inaugural year, you know, that brought them out.
Yeah. And it shows a really important thing is like, you know, obviously the Haas family is fortunate that, you know, they got business schools and all sorts of things named after them. That doesn't happen without a lot of money, but it shows that it's not, not about money's about values, right? And it's just they have different values. Like that family has different values. You see it in their philanthropy. You see it in the way that they ran the team, and you see it what they're doing in the community today. So anyway, we're super excited that the part of it. It's just another part of the wonderful legacy of baseball that in Oakland that we should be celebrating. And if we can kind of remind people of what good looked like, you know, that we should be doing that.
All right. So there's a game Friday night. Saturday during the day, that's the one with the flags, and then a game on Sunday.
There's a game tonight.
I think after this I'm gonna head over there. You know, yes.
then there's a game Saturday, and there's a game Sunday. So people should come to them all. But if you can only do one this week, it's that Saturday game. We're working really hard on making it special. Like it's really hard on making it special. Brian talked about the giveaways, some of the stuff that we're doing. But it's like for us, it's like a part of the movement. It's a part of the voice. Like if this is your, it's not a reverse boycott. It's a boycott, maybe. I don't know, but it's one of those like, you know, one of those milestone moments, you know, that I think you want to be part of. And I think the energy here is going to be incredible. And, you know, if you haven't been out here yet, it's a really good day to make your first Ballers game.
Brian, why did you pick, is the car flags because of the Ghost Rider? Is that why you went with car flags? Okay. How did you pick car flags?
Well, you know me, I mean, I initially wanted to do a pin. And stuff like that. And so I think it was Brian that said, oh no, everybody does pins or something like that. And so I said, all right, well, we can't do pins. We didn't have enough time for, we were actually the giveaway we were working on and that we were going to do was the Troftini. So it was a martini glass that was an actual trough. Oh, and God. So I think I have it in my room, but yeah, so it was literally had a stem on it. The base was concrete. And the problem is when we were quoting it and everything, Rob NorCal Nodders, right? Of $33 billion. Rob fucked up. Rob basically said it was intended to be a glass, right? And with that, you got all the FDA rules that come into play. And so all the quotes got canceled. Like, nope, we can't do that. We can't do that. We can't do that. So we're like, shoot. I was like, dude, you should have told him it's a statue. So then we could have promoted it as a Troftini statue. And then if anybody drinks out of it, hey, that's not on us. And so, but initially when in the quoting process, it was like being marketed to them that it was an actual drinking martini glass. And then they said, oh, we got to get FDA involved. And so then we knew we weren't going to make the time.
Ryan, so, I know that you're trying to, I know this is like a big ruse and you made 5,000 Troftinis and they're coming on Saturday and I'm ready for it. And it was like, you know, you got us disappointed and then they're going to show up.
Yeah. by the way, the Troftini, we're going to do it at some point because they're ridiculous. They're absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. And, you know, it honors a really important part of the Coliseum experience. And so we're going to do it at some point. I want to also state for the record that, like, when my Brian was on this podcast, I never interrupted his show one time. Not one time.
No, you didn't. No, nope.
He's been here twice.
You were standing right behind that tree and just let him have his moment. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've been hearing him on the side. Hey, Paul, ask him this. Tell him this. No, but Paul. But that's the cool thing about the Ballers is like, we can't wait to have a relationship with them. Like LDB, you know, we're three people, but really the people doing all the back end stuff is just two people. And so, you know, we have relationships with additional teams and other stuff that we're doing. And so especially when the A's leave, like that frees up our bandwidth to do so much more. And so like, we're looking forward in the long game, doing more and more stuff with the Ballers, like bringing the Trough Teeny to light, doing bobbleheads with the Ballers, like doing more and more promotional stuff and being involved on such a more deeper and intimate level and everything like that. And as the season goes on and everything, you know, so, you know, we're excited to have this relationship with them and for them to allow us the creative freedom to kind of go wild on some things. And we look forward to that. And, you know, but yeah, the Trough Teeny would have been, oh God, it would have been so bad.
There's like water fountains that look like toilets. And I forget, I think it's at the Exploratorium or something. And I couldn't do it. It was like a mental block. I couldn't do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, well, I think we should get some troughs. Like when the Coliseum is no longer a baseball facility.
Gotta start, absolutely. Get on Angie's list, figure out a plumber, you know, a few plumbers, you know, bring them to the game. You got to start bringing them in August so they can, you know, prepare for that last game, you know, and what is it, September 21st or something?
26, I think.
You know,
yeah.
It's 26.
26, yeah. And it's like
earlier in that homestand, you know, they're gonna be snooping. The security's gonna be in high alert on the 26th. 24th, have them bring in all their, you know, their. If you need some places to hide some stuff, I got some good ideas where you can
the vendor
hide
closet.
all the angle grinders and everything. And then, you know, seventh inning on the 26th, pick out which one you want to bring back to Ramondi and start cutting. Who are they going to stop you with carrying a trough out? What are they going to say?
You got to sanitize that thing.
I
officially cannot endorse anything that.
I was going to say no comment, man. No comment. I opened my mouth and got Alex in trouble. So,
I was going to say, use the promo code Last Dive Bar, Ricky Blog at Last Dive Bar, 10% off. Use my affiliate link down below. We'll have a little talk offline, boys. Yeah, but no. Thanks to Paul Friedman, one of the co-founders of the Ballers, for coming on. And of course, Brian Johansson, one of the co-founders of Last Dive Bar. Thanks. I don't know, unless there's anything else you got, Hal, but I'm pretty much good to go. How are you? You got anything?
I've said this a few different times. When I got to Ramondi, it blew my expectations out of the water for like what it is. It truly feels like an amazing neighborhood gem, you know? So I'm sure that most people listening to this have already been to a game. Go to some more, and if you haven't, get your butt there, man. Like you can walk there from the BART, you can take the bus from the BART, you can drive there. They got a lot of parking that's got security around it, so I mean it's really easy, it's right off the highway there, so get your ass over there.
Yeah, and the views are great. You can see the Oakland Hills, downtown Oakland. It's great, great ballpark. And the cool sheds. Yeah, it's great. So
you gotta get there before they build, you know, their version of Mount Davis, which will ruin,
you know. We're gonna ruin the sidelines. We're
Mount,
gonna
go, Mount Friedman.
Right there.
Mount Friedman. It's gonna be terrible.
Friedman. All right, thanks a lot, guys. We'll see you at the ballpark soon. All right.
Awesome. See you soon.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.